So I want you to stand with me at the reading of the word. We're going to go to Mark 7. We're going to start with verse 1. Mark 7. I'm going to read out the NIV tonight, just because there's some wording in it I like, but typically I read out of the King James. But there's some words here that I believe will speak to us. So if you go with me there, I hear some pages turning. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial wash, holding to tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." I want you to pray with me and pray for me for the service. Pray for me that the word of God will pierce our hearts, because it's dealt with me this week, and I'm asking you as well to open your ears, open the ears of your heart, so God can speak to us if he wants to say something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to divide your word correctly. Lord, I know that's what you've given to me in my heart. I know that what we have here tonight is your word. I'm asking God that you penetrate each and every heart in this house. God, that you speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would come and draw ever more closer to you, to put you on the throne that you are on that throne. But God, you have to be at the throne of our own hearts. God, I know what is going on around us. I know all the things in the world that distract us. I know all the things that are going on in our lives, even tomorrow, and the thoughts we may think. But God, I'm asking, Lord, that you block those and bind those in the name of Jesus, that we may be settled here right now to focus upon the word that you want to speak to this church. And God, I'm going to give you the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May be seated.
Granted, Jesus.
Traditions were instituted by God, and they were meant to reinforce salvation. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to have tradition. A lot of times I have tradition. Every time that we have Thanksgiving, we have mama's dressing, ham, mashed potatoes. You know, you have traditions in your life that are not necessarily bad, but we have traditions. In the Bible, God instituted traditions for a purpose. They were meant to give us reasons to come to God.
Yes.
It was God who instituted the law in the Old Testament. It was God who gave the rules and commandments to live by. It was God who laid out a pattern for us to look at. But as always, when humans get involved, traditions have a way of becoming meaningless idols right in our lives.
Yes.
Traditions say they don't. They do it, so it must be okay if I do it. Come on. I'm looking at somebody else instead of looking at God, and I'm saying, they're going to church, they're doing these things, and they're okay. That must be okay for me to do it okay. Tradition will say it's okay to watch something else and do it my own way. Tradition says, is seeing God and feeling his presence and seeing those around you entry in, but you don't. Tradition is showing up and watching it, but never enter in. There's this process that's stuck in the Protestant church where we decided that works somehow makes us say, hello?
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Now, when I say that, it's hard to say that because we know that works will not get you to heaven. It's all about the grace of God. But somehow or another, what we do and where we go and how we do it makes us feel more saved. Can you get any more saved? You're either saved or you're not. There's no question if you're saved or you're not. You know in your heart and the heart of God if you're saved.
Yeah.
But you can do all you want to do, and you can do all the work you can, but you will never get yourself into heaven by works.
Right.
Never.
That's right.
It's only by God's grace.
Amen. In the blood of Jesus. Yes, sir.
I want to share with you something that I dealt with it as a young man. I was actually a teenager. And I want to speak to the young people for just a moment, because I dealt with this myself. I'm going to read it because I had to write this down. Actually, in April of this year, I wrote this down on my phone. Actually, I was driving along, and Melissa typed it on her phone and sent it to my phone because I was driving. She was sitting behind me with Elena. And God was dealing with me. I realized, and I hope you do too, when God's dealing with you, you need to stop and write it down, put it somewhere, because God has a purpose and a reason for it.
Right. Yes, sir.
So I said, this is what God's saying to me, and it's going to be a purpose. I had no idea I'd be preaching that several months later, but here it is. Just because I was raised in church and saw the Holy Ghost move, just because my parents were saved and filled, did not mean that I was saved. Did not mean that I had a personal relationship with Jesus. I had tradition. The tradition to go to church, to watch, to hear, to go through the motions, but not know why on any of those. What was wrong? What did I miss? I was there in the right place, even at the right time. I was in the position of being at the church every time the door was open. The tradition of reading the Bible, the tradition of praying my little prayers, the tradition of seeing others move in the Spirit and getting breakthroughs that I just watched. What was I lacking was choice. My choice.
Yes.
Who was in control, me or God? Would I sacrifice my will? Was I wanting to change or the appearance of it? Come on.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
A lot of times we want to go to church and say, I'm part of Pentecostal church, but you're really not.
Yeah. It's true.
Come on.
I know it's hard.
Amen.
I know. I'm going to stomp on some toes tonight. And I've been dealing with this all day long, saying, God, come on, help me. Did I understand what salvation really was? Did I desire what I could not see and forsake what I could see? Because the fleshly eyes will lie to you each and every time, but if the Spirit of God is seeing, it's going to see through the heart. You're going to see people in a different light. If you're looking through your eyes, these fleshly eyes, at somebody outside, you may not like them. But if you're looking through the eyes of your heart, you're going to love them. Why? Because it's a soul that's going to live forever somewhere. If you care and you're serving God, you're going to leave them, want them to live for Christ in heaven forever. There's a difference between those that just go through the motions.
Right.
When I despise the flesh and go after the spiritual things of God, why did I not understand that eternity was at stake?
Right. Yes, sir.
Why didn't I? Why did I not see what was going on around me? Why did I choose being lost? Why did I not understand the Bible? Why did I hear from Jesus? I knew what was right, but I did not write. Why did I run from the church? Where was my priorities? I asked all these questions now looking back as a parent in my own children's experiences and pray to God, let them not do what I did.
Yes, sir.
Now that's more than 35 plus years ago. I wasn't looking for God, but I was in a church. My dad was a deacon. Sang, I'll fly away almost every Sunday night. My mom was the adult teacher, both filled and powerful of the Holy Ghost. But here's the thing. I didn't have a relationship with Christ even though I went through every Sunday school class. What was different? Every one of us have to ask this, because only you and you alone will stand before God and answer for what you've done.
Yeah.
Only you. It won't be your Sunday school teacher. It won't be your pastor. It won't be your husband or wife. It will be just you and God.
That's right.
He will take this and judge every one of us. This is what you're judged by. If you don't know this, then we're in sure trouble. The word of God is what he tells us that he will judge us by. The word that became flesh, Jesus Christ, the one that we say we serve, but yet, in myself, I didn't know Christ at that time. I know I'm speaking to more than just one or two in the house tonight. I know, because the faces that come before me as I preach or I pray all week long, faces to come before me all week long. God has had a specific purpose tonight.
Yes, sir.
There's a reason. Traditions are not bad, but they won't save you. If you want to know if you are bound by tradition in your life, evaluate what concerns you. In my text tonight, Jesus is with his disciples and suddenly surrounded by the religious Pharisees and these other men who were teachers of the law. Did you understand that? Teachers of the law. Teachers of the law. Scribes is what it says in the King James. And they began to express their concerns over what Jesus and his disciples are doing. They were more concerned about whether or not they were washing their hands than they were being able to see that Jesus, the redeeming Messiah, was the bread of life. Could we possibly miss Jesus in any aspect of our lives or what's going on because we're concerned about dirty hands? There's nothing wrong with washing your hands. There's nothing wrong with washing your hands before you eat. But the purpose here, these scribes of the Word of God, these teachers, were actually missing the actual Messiah, the One, because they were more concerned about ceremonial washing of hands. Not knowing Christ. What concerns you? You have to think about these things and ask yourself hard questions. It makes me feel good, so I'm going to church. And I'm going to go around a lot of Holy Ghost filled people. I'm going to worship with other people. I may even raise my hands, but I'm not going to get involved. If all I'm doing to have the feeling of church and seeing it, then my heart is blinded because I'm concerned with what I feel and see instead of being with Jesus. Is it always feel good to be with Jesus? No. You will get sick. There will be days you'll be sick. I was sick earlier this week. Pastor, we were both sick. I mean, I didn't feel good, but I still knew Jesus. I still knew who my healer was. I still knew I was saved. So he didn't promise that we wouldn't go through trials and tribulations in this life. He said that we would. But what's the purpose in that? That's because that we, in our life and how we live it, to show those that do not believe how being in Christ is different than not knowing him.
Right. Yes, sir.
Come on. It's because we know where we go.
Right.
One day, and in fact, I don't think that day is too far off, we're going to go.
Yes, sir.
In that glorious rapture.
Amen.
Amen. We're looking for that purpose. We know that he has promised us this. But so many times, especially this time of year, we're so busy. We're so taken in by everything else that's going on around us.
Yes.
This is the time of year when we find ourselves questioning. How many lukewarm Christians do you know? No, I'm stomping on toes. I know. This isn't easy to preach.
Come on.
But the truth is the truth, and God knows the truth. And I don't want to see anyone in this church not make it to heaven because I didn't preach the truth and what he put on my heart. Because there is a heaven and there is a hell to shun. And our purpose is here is to preach the gospel. Look, we are coming down to the end. You look every single day, there's more and more and more. Melissa alluded to this morning, there's the newest Jewish Messiah, whatever they would call him. That's fine, whether they believe that or not. He's doing miracles. There's the Abrahamic house, which is the three religions all together, the Catholic Church, the Muslim, Islam, and also the Jewish synagogue, all together on the same ground. But guess what? What they follow is the Sharia law. But they're calling that the one world religion. Are we coming down to the end of it?
Yes, we are.
Yes, sir. Are we focused on more of that, or are we focused on him?
Yeah.
Because him is the only reason and purpose that we have life, and we have it more abundantly. And the life is not necessarily here more abundantly, even though we will. But the purpose is there.
Amen.
We are not from here, so we shouldn't build up our treasures on this earth, but build up our treasures there.
Amen.
Because there's a purpose and a reason, so we need to reach out. The Church of the Living God is to reach to those people that are lost around you. Maybe they're there and they're hurting at the workplace. Maybe they're there at the grocery store. Right now, people are hurting everywhere.
Yeah.
When we look at the pantry, you see 150 families being saved, being fed.
Amen.
We're hoping that we get them saved.
Amen.
But that's one way to actually minister to them.
Yes, sir.
One thing we've gotten them used to is they come on the church parking lot for help. So when's the next time that we can give them something else that will help them spiritually for life of eternity with Christ? What is our purpose of the church? We all think about the Great Commission. And most of the time, that's the pastor's job, isn't it? Come on. Witnessing to those around us when the opportunity gives itself. If you pray, God will give you divine appointments each and every day. If we're faithful, He'll bring the harvest. The harvest is ripe. So many times, and here's what the enemy does, look at the sin, look at the homosexuality and all the things going on, look at the deviant behavior. We know it's the days of Noah. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know all that's the end time. But the enemy wants you to focus on how ugly that is. But God says, but that's a soul.
Yes, it is.
That's a soul that's going to die and go to hell if someone doesn't speak to them. If someone doesn't give them the truth. If someone gives them the truth of the gospel. The devil wants us to look at it like it's such an ugly, horrible thing. But God says, but that is my creation. What sin's done to it, He's done to the whole world. Is the world the same as it was when it was created? No. We've lived in a fallen world, and there's going to be sin in it. Evaluate what concerns you. Have you talked to Jesus today? Have you actually had a conversation with Him? Do you believe Jesus talks to you? There are many times it's going to be you. But He will speak to you in your heart when you pray.
Amen.
He'll speak to you many times when you pray and you read your word. He'll speak to you through the word. As I draw near to Him, I know He's drawn near to me. Because He loves me more than I even love myself.
Yes.
Evaluate our concerns. This dealt with me all week. Evaluating myself and my everyday ordeals. My analytical mind and what I like to do is have order. But you know what? God is a God of order, absolutely.
Yes, He is.
But He will break things in your life and give you an opportunity to choose Him or your order.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
There will be times when you have something going on in your life and He's like, I know you've always done it this way, but you know what? I got something bad.
Yeah.
Yes. I want you to go here because there's a reason for it.
Right.
What I'm saying is that these Pharisees were so concerned with tradition after tradition that they couldn't even see Jesus. How many times do we want to come here, just lay down our burdens, but have no relationship with Christ?
Right.
Nobody wants the burdens of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oftentimes they're laid down here, but often picked up by the time we walk out the door.
Right.
If we take up His yoke, He says it's easy. What does that mean?
Yeah, come on.
That means you're laying it down, not picking up. That means that you're going to give it to Him. When you do, you're engrafted into the vine, because we are the branch. And in the vine that we have His flow of Him in us. For it. Therefore, every time we feel this burden, it is now His burden. Does that make sense? That's what the Word tells us.
Yes.
Evaluate what things truly concern you. What do you care about? Is Christ or just the things you've been taught? If you want to know if you're bound by tradition, then ask yourself this question. Do you say more than you do? I had a shirt back when I was in middle school, and I remember the principal very vividly, and this has been a minute ago, and it said this: oftentimes more said than it's ever done. It started this way. After all said and done, more said than done. Oftentimes, the Lord said, you said in the darkest place, when you were in crying in the middle of the night and you needed me, you would serve me. You would come back to me. You would seek me. You would praise me. You would read my word. You would commune with me. He wants to commune with his people.
Yes, he does.
Do you think he's just a God with a magnifying glass looking and seeing what we're doing wrong and saying, hey, you're wrong? He loves us so much, he gave Jesus. What are we doing with Jesus? You ever ask yourself that question? What are you doing with Jesus? What are we doing with Jesus?
What are we doing with Jesus?
In Isaiah, God said, this people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Taught by men to fear God. The people were still honoring God with their words and practiced religion and traditions, but their hearts did not truly know or love the Lord. There was no sincerity in the rituals. They did not love the Lord with their whole heart, soul, and mind, like God commanded them to do in Deuteronomy 6 and 5. And Amos 5, 21 and 24 says this, God said, I hate and despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept it. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs and the melody of your harp. I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an evening, ever flowing stream.
Yeah.
So when we come and act, when we come to God and our whole mind is not in prayer, when we come and to worship and we lift hands because somebody else did. Have you ever watched someone that's texting and driving?
Yeah.
And they're behind you? You're the ones paying attention more than they are. You're just like, they're going to rear into me. What happens? This happened a lot of times. I drove back and forth between Springdale and Russellville for years. And I would watch, and usually this person would be texting. I'd see them in my rearview mirror. Because I'd pay attention to the road. And I'm watching them. And they would set themselves on my tail so they could text. Hello? You ever see somebody tracking you and you're wondering why they're staying in the same spot? Because they're doing that so they can do something else. They're making you do the driving for them so they can text. This happened all the time. Young people don't do it. Don't do it. Old people either. A lot of times in church, we raise our hands because the person in front of me raised their hands. Come on. Now I'm going somewhere with that. Sometimes I decide I'm going to go to the altar because, you know, so-and-so went down there and I want to look as holy as them. Come on. Come on. I know. I know it's Christmas time. I should be preaching a Christmas message. That's what the Lord said. Even though God had commanded these feasts, these assemblies, and these offerings, he took no pleasure in them when his people did not live out what the command of their righteousness.
Yeah.
Psalms 106 and 3 says, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. God has given us a roadmap. It's clear what we are to do to please him. He doesn't want lip service. We can't become a bunch of words with no actions. We can't say one thing, but our hearts that are not truly worshiping God. We can sit in a church service and text so-and-so somewhere else, and we call it multitasking. Okay? Let me go ahead and step on that for just a minute. Because I'm a multitasker.
Yeah.
I've done it all my life. Anybody's been in management, Brother Chris? How's multitasking work for you? All the time. That's what you do. But so many times, we've got this little gadget called an iPhone that says, hey, you can do all of this and a bag of chips. So I can do this and that, and we get our minds trained to try to do multitasking. So I'm going to go ahead and put in my grocery order at Walmart in my phone while I'm at church.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello?
Shame on us. Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Disrespectful.
The thing is that you didn't come here for me, for Pastor, or anybody else. You came here for him.
Yes, sir.
If you think it's another reason, you're wrong. Because we could be gone tomorrow. If I am, it's going to be because I went with him. But the point is this. We came for Christ for no other purpose, no other reason. Tradition is not salvation. Salvation is found in Christ alone. It is not found in the traditions which were only meant to point to our need for a saving work. In Numbers 21 and 8, we find where God commanded Moses to make a bronze serpent on a pole so the people could look upon it and be safe if they had been bitten by a snake. Jesus even compared himself to that in John 3 and 14. But the people eventually turned from trusting in God and worshiping in him to worshiping a serpent on a pole. So in you right now, do we worship Jesus or religion? Do we come here for him? Do we come here already with our hearts prepared to worship him? Do we come here hoping and expecting because we prayed all week to hear from God? Whoever's speaking from this pulpit has been searching and researching and praying all week long for whatever God would say. But have you prayed for them? Believe you me,
yes, sir.
Your prayers are coveted to those that preach, the pastors of your church, those in leadership. How important is it to prayer? Absolute importance. Paramount and more than anything else is prayer. Is that there's really, if we don't spend time with God before we get to church, what are we expecting the church to do? Are we expecting the person by the pulpit, or Brother Chris and the worship team, to pull us up that mountain?
Yeah.
Everything that we lay down on these, we're going to say, okay, every time the worship and the praise goes on, we're going to come down to the altars? Great. That's wonderful. The question is it the same thing as last week? Or do we lay it down and not pick it up? The altars are going to be messy. Every sacrifice in the Bible, you will see blood and gore and everything else. It was supposed to be a nasty ordeal. Just like our sins, a nasty thing. We lay it down, but we don't want to pick it back up because it's supposed to be laid there and sacrificed.
Amen.
So we can see him, and God will look upon us and we will be white as snow. The purpose of the actual altar is that, is to sacrifice and leave it there. It's not continued.
Yes, sir.
But the people eventually turned from trusting in God and worshiping this serpent. And 2 Kings 18:4 says this, Hezekiah breaking the bronze serpent because Israel was making offerings to it. Offerings to it. The human heart can turn commanded tradition and religious symbols into inappropriate, hypocritical worship and even flat-out idolatry. I know. Tradition was instated by God in the rituals to remind man how to get closer to him, not to focus on the worshiping, the rituals, or the action of it.
Right.
When I was a teenager, I came to church. I did the tradition. But I was no more saved than that people. I didn't know Christ as my Lord and Savior. I didn't know the freedom. I didn't know that I had someone that was always there. I didn't know how to truly pray. I didn't know that I was saved. Was that time I wasn't? There is a difference. Tradition will never be salvation. So I ask you tonight, would Jesus say what he said about the Pharisees and scribes about you and me? I went down this, when I wrote this list, it dealt with me. What do you say? They attend church, but their heart is far from me. They go because they always have. Because it's a habit. They read their Bible, but their heart is far from me. They do their obligations if someone asks them if they did. They pray eloquently, but their heart is far from me. They want to be heard and thought spiritual. They pay their tithes, but their heart is far from me. Want to be seen giving. They do ministry, but their heart is far from me. Makes them feel important. They love to sing, but their heart is far from me. They like the way it makes them feel. They talk to people about Jesus, but their heart is far from me. Tradition says, because I'm supposed to. You will notice not one of these things is wrong. Not one of these things is wrong. But it's all about the state of the heart. It's all about the heart. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
Yeah.
Everything you do.
Everything you do.
I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to start to close. I know the word is hard. I know I'm preaching to a lot of saints. But also, I know what God said. So I'm going to ask you this. If we put God where he should be and take delight in the word, he will give you the desires of the heart that the word says. And this is what it should be. Joy to come to church. Understand when you read his word. Prayer that is heard, it shakes the gates of hell. Money to give for his purpose. Ministry that comes out of you. A song of joy and anointing. A witness of Jesus that cannot be denied. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The desires of our heart should these things. What is it that we seek? Do we seek our will? Our choice? So many times in my life, in the business realm that I did for so many years, very good at it, very prosperous in the world view, very highly touted, knew from one side of the nation to the other in my business. Did a great job, they said. But not one of those things mattered in eternity.
Yeah.
Am I bragging? Absolutely not. Because I wasted so many years on me. On me. Choice. That's what we're talking about tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd be remiss if I did not offer salvation tonight. Jesus Christ is calling. I know what it sounds like. I know it's a Sunday night. But I know what I hear from God.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone in this house by uplifted hand? Saints, pray. Start praying right now where you are. Pray. There's souls for eternity at stake. Everyone in this room, pray that God moves on the hearts. God, help us, Lord. Help us to draw close to you. Help us, God, by the conviction of your Holy Spirit in this house right now. That I don't want tradition of going to church and doing what looks right. I want a relationship with you, Jesus. I want to know you for who you really are. I want to know the beauty of Jesus Christ. I want to know that I'm saved and I have freedom and free in my heart. Anyone in this house, by the looks of God, can I pray with you? I don't want to embarrass you.